Today I want to tell you a story about my horse, Brody. Brody is not a fancy horse. Let's just get that out of the way. Most of the time he's pretty dirty. So Brody is not a fancy horse. He's more like a rescue horse. I got him for cheap, and I keep him for cheap. He is like not a fancy horse. And like a lot of rescue animals, Brody has a lot of trauma in his past. And this trauma has taught Brody not to trust people. He was trained by people with a bad attitude towards horses. If their attitude was, if the horse does something that you don't like, then beat the horse and then try again. Surely that should work, right? Well, in horses like Brody, who have a lot of character and a lot of spirit, that only leads to more and more and more sort of interpersonal violence between the trainer and the horse. You beat the horse just bucks harder. And that's more or less the direction that things headed for Brody for a long time. Eventually, he was the kind of horse that people were warned to keep away from. He was angry, and he was dangerous, and he more or less thought that people in general were a bad idea, especially if they wanted to do anything with him or, like, work him or ride him or do anything other than feed him. And I knew all of these details about Brody when I got him. And I knew that he might never be a horse that I could ride. And I reckoned if, you know, we could just develop a healthy relationship, then that would be enough. And so we did. We worked on all kinds of things over the course of several years. And before long, Brody was no longer angry and dangerous. Before long, he was willing, and he was respectful, and he was a delight to be around. And so, you know, I took a risk one day and led him over to the mounting block and kind of stood on the mounting block and just, horses know all about mounting blocks, they mean work, and just kind of saw, what was Brody going to do? And so he just stood there right in front of me, perfectly positioned to get on him, so I just got on him. And before long, I was riding this horse with no saddle and no bridle, all over the place, all over the fields. And it was time to try putting a saddle and a bridle on this horse. But all I had to do was take the bridle out of my locker and just bring it near him. And the closer it got, the more he kind of shut down. If I pulled the saddle out of the locker and put it on a barrel in the arena just so he could see it, then his patience and his affection and his playfulness, they just vanished. His face went blank. His mouth, he got these wrinkles beside his mouth. He, like, tightened up his mouth. And he stood rigid as if he was waiting for the torturers to come and get him for his next session on the rack. Like, oh, no, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. But I kept doing it. I kept pulling out the bridle. I kept pulling out the saddle. I kept asking him to just relax in their presence and not worry about them so much, because I could see a bigger picture that Brody couldn't see, right? I could see the picture, the possibility of a fantastic life of riding and taking adventures together if we could build a bond together. I could see the possibility that he would become a fabulous trail riding horse, and that he'd love it. He loves adventures. He loves new places. He loves new smells. He loves these things. And I could see another possibility too. The possibility that someday something might happen to me, and that if that were to happen, then he would be safer and better taken care of and less likely to end up in a bad situation if he was a well-trained horse. So I kept working on the saddle and the bridle out of love and care for Brody, even though to him, every time we did that, it did not look or feel like love and care, right? It's that same tension that is at play in our reading from Exodus this morning, our reading of the Ten Commandments. When we read this passage on a day like today during Lent, right, we've cut it off from its place in the broader story. And doing that, it helps us to hear that passage only as a set of rules to be followed that there are consequences if you break them that has nothing to do with the gospel of grace. And it's now just a series of things that we must do and we must not do. And all of us know that if all you do is the Ten Commandments, you don't get very close to the Christian story. You don't actually get very close to the gospel of grace. You don't actually get very close to a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't get terribly close. So yet the way that we read them today, that's what it feels like. This is the box. You must be inside the box or terrible things will happen to you. And so when we read it this way, it might also bring to mind all those times when we've had rules laid down and when there have been consequences and punishments for not following them. It'll bring to mind ways that we've sinned and we've transgressed and we've been bad. Reading it this way is likely to make us feel worse about ourselves. And quite possibly for some people, it will make them feel worse about God, who seems very remote and very dictatorial in this passage and very demanding. But we would be missing out on something very, very important if we forget the larger context in which these texts are set. The story of the Ten Commandments begins in Egypt, or a lot further back, but we'll begin our story today in Egypt, where the Israelites were slaves for generations, for hundreds of years. Okay, slavery was everything that they had ever known. And God hears the cries of the people and delivers them from slavery, and that's really nice and everything, but just because they are now free does not mean that they know how to be a free people. They don't have any of those skills. They don't have any of that experience. And just because they've been rescued by God doesn't mean that they now know how to be a people of faith, because they have none of those experiences either. And so God sends them on a very, very long pilgrimage out into the wilderness, a journey that should have taken them 4 weeks. Takes them 40 years. So, like, that is one heck of a roundabout route. He sends them out into the wilderness to learn the core skills of how to be a people together. And out in the wilderness, they were exhausted and frightened to be so far from everything that they had known. They have no skills for getting food for themselves or surviving in the wilderness, which it would have been a very challenging situation, and they've never learned anything of that sort because they were slaves in an urbanized, rich, river valley society. They complain about the lack of food. They whine about the lack of comforts. They get anxious about the lack of routine and structure and leadership, all the things that would have been familiar to them, all the circumstances in which they learned how to survive have now been completely overturned. And quite frankly, there's moments in the Exodus story where they are not sure if being rescued by this God of theirs was a good thing for them or not, right? There's times when they want to go back, because even though it wasn't all that great, at least they knew how to survive back there. So what to them looks like, what to God looks like a great story of rescue in this moment does not seem to them like anything of the sort at all. But of course, there is a broader context, a bigger story, which is the story of God's loving faithfulness for his chosen people, for his beloved children. Whatever the Israelites might think when they're wandering in the desert, love is why God led them out of Egypt. And whatever the Israelites might suspect, love is why God leads them into the wilderness. And love is why God gives the commandments as part of God's lessons to them about how to live together as a free and faithful people. Love is also why God is inviting us on our journey of healing. Just like the Israelites and just like Brody, there are traumas in our past that God is inviting us to grow beyond. God is offering us lessons about how we can live together as a community, as a free and faithful people. That is the work that we are doing in our Healing Past Hurts events, and especially for those who came to our February Healing Past Hurts event and are taking Lenten study. There's a lot of overlap of that sort of content. The Lenten study is about how we can grow character to stand up in the face of challenging, pressured circumstances. So we continue to do this work. And on April the 14th, we'll have our next Healing Past Hurts event and continue to do the work. Just like Brody, just like the Israelites, there are parts of it that we are not going to like. I didn't really like the last Healing Past Hurts event, even though it was really, really, really important. Just like the Israelites, there are going to be days when we wish that we could go back to a past that perhaps wasn't really all that great, but at least it was familiar. And yet, in love, God calls us onward to learn new skills together, to learn how to be a new people together. In love, God calls us to persevere. God calls us to this work not for the work itself, not to cause us pain, not to make us uncomfortable, but because God has a vision, a bigger context, and if we could see it, then we would love it too. Because God has dreams of each of us being liberated, and God has dreams of St. George's playing its part in the redemption of the world. Eventually, Brody learned to relax, and now he thinks the saddle and the bridle means we're going on an adventure together. Eventually, the Israelites learned to relax and to trust that God, that what God was doing in them and for them was actually for their good, was actually heading somewhere awesome. And so it is with us. God calls upon us to trust him and to believe that what he is doing now in our midst is something awesome too. So this Lent, may we take a deep breath and trust God and allow God to take us on this journey, a journey of healing and repentance and growth. Lessons in love taught by our God who is love and who longs for us to learn a healthy love for each other and to learn to live healthily together as a free and a faithful people. So may we have the grace to relax into God's loving embrace, and to learn the lessons that God wishes to teach us. Amen.